is our desire, that's what we want, and we see it coming in. How would you feel like keeping it out? It'll give peace to the heaven and comfort the good news, the gospel, which they bring, but to the earth, they can't understand it. They can't see it. And they hate it, as Jesus said to John, that this love that passes all understanding, how great it is. And it's because of that love that he had loved his people that you're hated by the world. That's too strong. You'll have to ask the Apostle John. Not you as a man, probably, or a woman, but there's something within you that is hated by all men for my name's sake. That's something that you cannot get around. Where there's life, there's comfort and the growing or springing up. But where there's not life, there's rot. Now he uses the word because here. The doctrine shall distill as a dew, as a small rain upon a tender herb, and as a shower upon the grass. Why? Because I'll publish the name of the Lord, ascribe the greatness unto our God. That tells it there. There's Christ and Him crucified. There's the omnipotent God spoken of, the immutability of God and the omnipresence of God. He is the rock. Meaning made that the foundation upon which the structure rests. His ways, his work is perfect. Now just a little on that. We people or our eyes have never looked upon a perfect work. We saw works of art that was called perfect, but no, it was not perfect. All his ways are perfect. He makes no mistake. As I tried to describe, I guess I got mine good on something else. From the beginning down to the time of Christ, on to the very end of time, it is woven in a beautiful picture to Almighty God in perfection. No mistakes. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Almighty God. Oh, David said, oh, that I might worship him. Oh, I feel so little, so insignificant. To stand in this which I call a holy place. And try to extol his wonderful name to the children of men. Because I'll publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right as he. That's his verse I'll read. You know, John says that of all that should be written, he says, the world itself could not contain the book. If this book that is written, this Bible, which is left upon record, they've tried to burn it many times in the history, tried to get rid of it. How the world does keep it. But we, with patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. And this hope, the anchor of the soul, that is sure and steadfast, and reaches to that within the veil. It's not anchored upon the rocks of earth, but is anchored safe in heaven. And if you, my dear friends, can feel within your heart that he is your God, that he has spoken to you, that he has led you beside the still waters and made you lie down in green pastures and restored your soul, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which I understand is our life here, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. A rod and a staff that comfort me. The rod many times is used upon us. He knows what is best for us. And sometimes, as the poet says, sometimes when all life's lessons have been learned and the sun and stars forevermore have set, the things that our weak judgment here had spurned, the things o'er which we grieve with life and ready, will spring before us out of life's dark night as stars shine most in deeper tints of blue. And there we'll see how all God's things are right, and there which seemed reproof was love. Think of it. There's a mother in her child when she takes away the candy sometimes. Forbids him this and that. Tell you an incident that occurred in my own family. It's in the days of the old straight razor, you know about them. Well, I'd shaved and I shut it up and laid it down carelessly, so I sought after it. My little girl toddled around there. She grabbed it and she had it. And you know, I had an awful time to get it away from her. I sprayed a cutting her with it, and of course it was shut. And she squalled and was going to have that to play with. And I was just as sure she wasn't going to have it to play with. Of course, I blame myself for leaving it down there where she could get a hold of it. I knew that she'd cut herself with it. I knew it wasn't best for her to have it, and I said no, and I took it away from her and put it away. Don't you suppose that our God, in dealing with us as children, ain't we just as foolish? Don't we often pray and ask for things that would be detrimental to us? Yes, we do, many times. And it speaks about when prudent parents disallow too much sweet for craving babyhood. So God perhaps is keeping from us now life's sweetest things because it seemeth good. If we could stand within and all God's working seed, pray without ceasing as we go journeying this life. May we be kept humble and at his feet and be clothed in his right mind. May he give to us an understanding. May he open our understanding as he did to the apostles. May he lead us in the paths of duty for his name's sake. May he teach us how to pray and how to behave ourselves in the house of God. Dear brethren, I will submit these few remarks. May the Lord bless you. We go into our closet and we shut the door. And we pray to the Lord of the heart to still remember Ebenezer. And to send her a pastor. Let her go in and out before. We cannot study the ark, even though the oxen shake it. All we can do is pray. And may the Lord add his blessing.
Church, Baltimore, Maryland. The speaker for the occasion will be Elder Bunn of Richmond, Virginia.
Thank you. sufficient evidence, but not to Moses. He desired more. So we find in the fourth chapter of Exodus, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. And it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Reading from the first verse of the fourth chapter of Exodus down through the seventh. We, in our own experiences, and there is something deeply within me that makes me to believe that all of the experiences that the Lord's children shall suffer or rejoice in during their stay in time, there is a witness, has been a witness, and it has been recorded. The Lord tells us furthermore that the Lord's tongue is the pen in the ready writer's hand. These words were not recorded, but just the imaginary conclusions of man. But by the inspiration of God, and his tongue was a hand in the writing. All of the scriptures are the words of the Lord, and of the experiences recorded of his children, and for every one of them during time there is and has been a witness. And I hope to feel thankful unto God for that precious hope that I trust he has given me, that gives me to feel that when I am lifted up to rejoice in the great mercies of his presence and the riches of his glory, that also is recorded. Yet it brings to my mind back several years ago when I heard the voice of the Lord, I trust, tell me to go home and tell my sheep their father's rich. And yet I felt I could not do that. I had a brother that was extremely highly educated, and I says, why send him He's more able. I didn't have evidence enough for myself. I desired the more evidence. I believe that that's the experience of all of his children, that they, as they continually go along through life, that ever so severe the affliction may seem, they search and they wonder, they beg for more evidence, for more evidence. And yet it would seem that the words of the Lord telling Moses, that the great I am hath sent thee, that I am the great I am, tell them that the I am hath sent thee. It appears in our natural minds that that would have been sufficiently, but no, he desired more. He desired more. And so the Lord told him, he still said, but they will not believe. They will not hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And he told him again. He said, what is that in thine hand? What is that in thine hand? Moses said, it was a rod. Brethren, Moses was not afraid of that rod when he had it in his hand. When the strength of Moses was holding that rod in his hand, he was not afraid of it. But lo and behold, he told him to cast it on the ground. And he did. And it became a serpent, something ferocious, something vile, something that was poisonous, something that would destroy him. And he became afraid of it, and he did flee from it. Now, that, brethren, according to my understanding and sometimes to my comfort, reminds me of the, and takes my mind back to the times when I held firmly on to a rod. A rod is something that we hold to. It's something for a support, and it's something that we lean upon. And the rod that I held that was in opposition to the things that I hope that I love now, yet I held firmly to it as long as I could, and I was not afraid of it. I was not afraid of it. It was seemed to be a support, something that I held. Yes, something that I held. Sometimes we find that we on our own beds at home, that something that we ourselves earned, it's a reward of our own labor, and yet we find sometimes that very thing that is a reward of our own labor becomes one of the greatest trouble spots of our experience. And that's where sometimes that I find so much trouble. It's when I'm upon my bed that it becomes too narrow, too short, and my covers too narrow. And it's something yet I earned. And brethren, when we find that these troubled places, yes, it's something you earned and you richly deserve it. You richly deserve it because it's something you earned and you're getting it too. Yes, you're getting it. And Moses here, that's something that he had in his hand. He was leaning upon it. It was a support. And yet the Lord took it from him. He took it from him. And he said, what is that in thine hand? And he said, it's a rod. And the Lord told him to cast it on the ground. And he did. And it became a serpent. Moses, up until that moment, was not afraid of it. He was not afraid of that rod. And the Lord, he did flee from it. The very thing that he had in his hand, he was afraid of. He was afraid of. He saw what it was. He saw the very inside of it. He saw the very filth of it. He saw the poisonous effect of it. And he couldn't stand it. He was afraid of it. And he did run. He did flee from it. Brethren, when the Lord opened our eyes that we trust, to the things of the rod in our hand, the things that we stood for, the things that we held on to so firmly for support. What is that? Our own ways. That which we would desire of our own selves. That which we held on of our own. Something that I can do. And when we found the very inside of it, exactly what it was, we are afraid of it. We ran. We were afraid. What did you do? You cried unto God for mercy. You begged him for mercy, because that I've had is poisonous. That that I held to is poisonous, and I can't stand it. But you know, the Lord, the great presence of the Lord's mercy with us is enough to cause you to not be afraid of it now. He took the danger out of it. He brought again there. I don't believe he did. The scripture doesn't say that it became the same rod. It's not the same rod. It is a rod, but not the same one. The Lord tells us there by the words of David, when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me." And there it was another rod. This was a rod of the Lord. It was a rod that the Lord had commanded him, saying, "Take it up." And he was not afraid of it then. He was not afraid. But yet it was not sufficient evidence to cause him to go down unto Pharaoh and to be content to do so. And so the Lord told him again. He says, "Put thine hand into the bosom." And he did so, and when he took it out, it was as leprous as snow. And there, brethren, that leprosy, that is something that'll cut you off. It's something that is dangerous. It's something that it takes nothing save the blood of the living to heal. And we are told in Leviticus there, where there was two doves caught, and one was slain, and the blood from the slain was sprinkled upon that that was living, and he was let loose in the field. There he gained freedom. There he was given freedom by the blood of the slain. And here, brethren, it took only the blood to cleanse and to cleanse this leprosy. And where did he find the effects of it? There in the bosom. It was in the bosom. There's where the great trouble spot of all of your experiences is felt. It's in the bosom, not in your hands, and not in your feet, or not in your back, but in your bosom. There's where the trouble comes. But now where then do we find that the applied mercy causes one to rise and shout the praises of God? Where is that felt also? It's felt in the bosom. That's where the effects of it is. That's where it's applied. That's where the very essence of your praises, that's where it's rooted, in the bosom. Where did the one, the poor publican there on the mount, where did he smite himself? Did he smite himself on his thigh, or on his knee, or on the top of his head? Where did he smite himself? We're told he smote his bosom. There is the place where the trouble was. It was in his bosom. There's where Moses found that the trouble was. It was in the bosom, and there's where the healing was. It was in the bosom. And oh, we are not told any further that this same great mystery had to be shown to Moses again and again, the same one. No, not that. Brethren, I believe, yes, that when the Lord tells and shows his people just how great a sinner they are, and how corruptible the rod of their own strength is, and how poisonous it is, and what a great serpent it is, and finds and shows him the riches of his own power, and the comforts of his own rod, and the comforts of his own staff. I don't believe that he has to tell you again and again and again that it is of the Lord. That it is, now this is the great I am again. No, but you know that, brethren. Yes, you know that it is of the Lord. But lo, there's something that causes you from time to time to cry out unto him, as the one of old did. When you find yourself way back in the low places again, yes, you find yourself full of doubts and cares. Am I thine, Lord, or am I not? But what is your cry then? The brethren, we are told, as one of old said, restore again unto me, Lord, the joys of thy salvation. You know the salvation is on the Lord. But your brethren, the sweetness and the joys of it is gone. And you're made to cry for it again, yes, again and again. Restore again unto me, Lord, the joys of thy salvation. You're made to hunger, you're made to thirst. Yes, brethren, you're made to cry. You're made to fall down on your face and beg him for mercy, as the one of old did. And yes, you're made then when you feel, yes, it is not a clean gone forever. What did the Lord tell you he'll do? He says, they shall draw water from the wells of salvation. Brethren, this is not the water. No, this is not the water that you might go out to your natural wells and draw. But this is water that was it's quenching to the thirst of the soul. Brethren, it's water that'll cause you to know again. Yes, it is on the great I am, that it is certainly of him. Brethren, you know then, you're made to lean again. Yes, lean again and rejoicefully so upon that glorious rod, the rod and staff of the Savior's presence and of his power and love. You're made again. You're not afraid of that. You yearn for it. You pray for it. You cry for it from time to time. Brethren, I'm glad of that. We find the Lord telling us there that behold, even John saw from the throne of God and of the Lamb this great river flowing therefrom, and we're told it was as pure as crystal. Oh, brethren, the clearness of it and the pureness of it. And I declare unto you that there was a tree on either side, and the midst of the street of it, it was all in the same place, and it, yet the tree was singular, one on either side, and in the midst of the street of it. And brethren, that river flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb to the little children here, and it waters them. Some may say that the water, the river, it flows straight to the children there. But no, brethren, I wanted to tell you now that that river, the river of God's love and of his mercy, yes, it flows here and there, because there's one of God's little children over there, and it just goes around, and it feeds every one of them, and it waters them. From what? From the deathless state that they seem to be in, and causes them, there's the water again, that will cause the living grass to shoot forth. And what way does it go? Does it turn and go down, brethren? No, bless your souls. It'll go toward the sun, bless your heart, and the very praises of your soul. It goes unto God. Yes, it praises that from whence it cometh, though we find ourselves so frequently, yes, as Moses did there, we find ourselves in this land where it's thirsty, where it's dry. Oh, it seems that the water is all gone, and even sometimes it parches, that it seems the ground is all cracked open, there's no moisture there at all. And brethren, yet the trees by the water's edge, it seems that they are so flourished all time, and they have a plenty. But brethren, thanks be unto God, sometimes along the way, that the river, it'll overflow, and bless your heart, it'll go way out there in the low places, and it'll water the trees, and it'll water those wills and the lowlands, those that is crying for water, those that is begging for mercy. Yes, it'll cry there, and bless your heart, the Lord has prepared a place to receive it. Yes, the ground is cracked open, and brethren, when the Lord reveals your own works to you, and reveals your own strength, it becomes a rod to you, and you're made to cast it down, or you're made to flee from it, because it's a poisonous thing in your sight. Oh, it's terrible, and you're afraid of it. And brethren, I want to tell you now, yes, you are cracked open, you are dry, and you need something. You need something from some other source than what your own strength. And God, he just gives you as he would have you to have it, and he'll give you something there of his that is so rich and wonderful, and will last you as long as it pleases him. the effects of it, it never seems to go because they are made continually to cry. We are told that when the Lord withdraws his presence from us while we cry, and yet you'll do it every time, why doesn't the effects of it ever permanently leave his children? Because he said, once I begin a good work, I continue it, and I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, world without end, and that I'll never leave thee. Now, that's why that it doesn't permanently leave you. It'll leave you in a dry place sometimes and cause you to cry and want more, just in witness with the one of old, and feel to say that I know the one of old was telling my feelings there better than I can tell them, because he cried unto the Lord, saying, restore again unto me, Lord, the joys of thy salvation. And brethren, you've had to cry that too. You've wanted it again and again and again, and yet could you reach up and grasp it? And no, you couldn't. You couldn't do that. One cried there to the effect, said, turn me, Lord, and I shall be turned. He didn't beg unto the Lord, said, turn me all around. He didn't say that, because it had been in the same condition he was. But turn me, Lord, and I shall be turned. Collectively, all of his children, I believe they cry collectively, turn us, Lord, and we will run after thee. We will run after thee. Brethren, this evidence that the Lord gives, his rod and his staff, it do comfort me. Yes, it's a rod of comfort and a staff of security. It's something that'll hold him. Something won't give out. You never see filth and corruption there, because it's not the same rod. The rod that you held on to, the rod that we all held on to, for our comfort and support, it become a serpent, and we were made to flee from it. But God granted another that'll endure all things and will lead you to life everlasting.